You're listening to Super Action Bros, a podcast talk about movies with genetic manipulation and crazy muscles.
And blood soda. Soda with blood in it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Super Action Bros, or SABMCU, as we're calling it for the next 7 months. I'm going to still call it Super Action Bros and just add it in afterwards, because yeah, that's what we are, where the Super Action Bros discuss the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So we are on movie number 2 right now of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
We are.
Last time we talked about Iron Man. This time we talk about the forgotten movie of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
The
one
brother.
That everyone just kind of like, oh, you
the
don't have to watch
The one that got away.
It. But I don't think, well, I'll spoil my review for, I don't think it's that bad. We'll talk about it, though. So, Ryan, what movie are we watching this time?
We're watching 2008's The Incredible Hulk.
Not to be confused with Ang Lee's Hulk from 2003.
Yeah.
The literal comic book movie. Do you remember how the edits and stuff?
I like that movie.
No, that movie's all bad.
Right. Let's get the business.
Oh,
though, so
God. No, Ryan.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Ian. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Super Action Bros. So before we get into the Hulk smash of it all, before I smash Ryan's opinion of the Ang Lee Hulk movie, and he smashes my hopes and dreams into oblivion. There's a couple ways you can reach out to our show if you like what we do and you want to get involved. You want to tell us about your favorite Marvel movie, or you want us to talk about some more current stuff that's going on in the MCU or TV shows or whatever. And we'll talk about all sorts of different stuff. So you can reach out to us at stuffandthingsnetwork.com. Go there, click on the Super Action Bros artwork. You can be taken to a page where you can listen to the show right there on the website. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Get new episodes as they come out. You can also reach out to us on social media. We have Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and I forgot last time, Letterboxd. Which is a movie review social media site. You can sign up for that. And there's an app and everything. So you can do that. You can also reach out to us individually on Twitter by clicking on our photos. But if you want to do that right now, you can reach out to me, Ian Rich, at iRich. That's at IRITCH.
You can reach me too, Ryan Roop, RYANRUPPE.
I just didn't feel it was very fair that you always give out your last. I mean, I give out my first name and people can put it together, but some people aren't good at math. I'm not good at math. I can never be Tony Stark, nor could I ever be Bruce Banner I'm terrible at math.
Buddy, that's not math.
But like, putting the first name and the last name together.
Just it's spelling.
No, it's well, no, but it is spelling, but it's the idea of taking the prop, putting it together like a math problem. Like
you can't, solving listeners a puzzle. Can't see this, but I'm giving you a look right
I
now.
Know. So you can also reach out to us via email if you hit the contact us button on the front page of the website, select our show from the drop-down menu, and write us a little message. You can tell us about your thoughts on Iron Man or The Incredible Hulk. Maybe you haven't seen The Incredible Hulk. Maybe you should go watch it and then tell us what you think, and we can talk about that here on the show.
Maybe.
We have a new little section at the end of a show called Back at the Ranch, where we talk about different kind of news in the world of action movies and such in the world of film in general, but mostly try to stick to that action genre. But so all of that at stuffandthingsnetwork.com. So Ryan,
that's
Incredible
me.
Hulk, you had not seen this movie.
No, yeah, this is the except for the newer ones, this is the only Marvel one I hadn't seen.
Yeah,
up to this point.
Here's the thing about this movie. I remember going to see it, and I remember this was my second little taste, which we'll talk about. It's not really a post-credit sequence. It's like, hey, no one's going to stick around after the credits, so maybe we'll put it right at the front.
Yeah.
Credit sequence. But this is when I first started to realize, oh, they're actually going through with this Avengers idea.
They weren't just joking. That wasn't a joke.
And it was. And then the crazy thing about it is, when this movie came out in comparison to Iron Man, it was like 2 or 3 months afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
So at that point, I realized, oh, they're serious. Like, it wasn't like, oh, maybe we'll get to it. It's a no, we're doing it.
Like, we're planning
get
this.
Get ready. Like,
although part of me does wonder, and I'm sure that we could look it up somewhere. I think that they added. Yeah, there it is. I think they added that Tony Stark scene, like, after Iron Man did well.
Yeah, but they also added parts in there. There's references to S.H.I.E.L.D. in
true,
there and the
true,
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah,
database.
Yeah.
And there's Stark Industries logo very clearly at one point. So, like, but a lot of that stuff could be added in post-production very,
true.
Very easily.
Yeah, that's
what
I'm saying.
You reshoot one scene with William Hurt where he says S.H.I.E.L.D. instead.
Yeah.
You know, and there you go.
Yeah, or you don't even need to reshoot the scene. Just have him come in for ADR. It's someone who sounds like William Hurt can do it.
but let's talk about this movie. So let's we like to do kind of a comic connection sort of thing, or like a little bit of a mini character thing. The Hulk's a pretty tentpole Marvel character.
He is. He's really well known.
Yes, but
he is the Tasmanian devil.
Yeah, I would say so. I'd say that's actually a really fair comparison.
Because a lot of people who really like the Hulk.
Love the Hulk,
but you're like, oh, yeah, you know, like.
The Hulk.
You know, you start talking about Hulk stuff. Like, no, I just like the idea of like a guy who gets really angry and he gets really huge and smashes stuff. It's like, okay. So you like the Tasmanian devil.
Do you like the Hulk wearing backwards hats on a an airbrush t-shirt?
Oh man, yeah, I do actually.
wearing a 1990s Chicago his Bulls pants, jersey,
like sagging down, and he's kind of got
next
his arms
to Tweety
crossed.
Bird because it's before they you know.
Would Iron Man be the Tweety Bird in this situation?
I guess so. He's the only other person in the MCU.
Do a lot of people have Iron Man tattoos? Because a lot of people have Tweety Bird tattoos.
No,
I don't know if you've noticed this.
Yes,
like a lot. Like it's surprising.
Oh, a lot of
me.
People now have Iron Man tattoos.
It bums.
I'm
me
sure
out.
There's at least one guy out there in the world who has an Iron Man. Like arc reactor on his chest, but it's not just an arc reactor.
Yeah.
It's his skin being ripped off
underneath his Iron Man.
That Spider-Man tattoo is one of my favorite things in the world.
So weird.
Because it's so bad. I'm like, somebody has to live with that for the rest of their life. Like,
I
love Spider-Man.
And go,
like, Ryan, right? Like, on the Marvel side, Spider-Man is my Batman.
You love the Spider-Man.
But I don't know if I could do that. I don't even know if I could get a Spider-Man tattoo because I haven't thought of something cool enough yet.
One day.
Anyway, though, let's talk about the Hulk. So, the Hulk is, this isn't the Hulk's first movie. We'll just briefly mention this. So you liked Ang Lee's Hulk?
Here's where I stand. I really like Ang Lee as a director. But,
I do too.
But it's Ang Lee is very interesting when it comes to directing action movies. He hasn't done a ton of action movies. His big one is The Hulk. And then
what kind of action you're talking
about.
Fair.
And then the other action movie that he's done that a lot of people know about is Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yes.
And I really like the
very
way he does
movies,
sort of like dreamlike action.
Okay.
And in the Hulk movie, it's very like it's not like straight up hardcore action movie, superhero movie the way this one is. But there are some scenes. There are some parts, like the part where he's skipping across the screen and stuff. I like it. You know, it's cool. It's a neat way to do it.
The one thing I will give the Ang Lee Hulk movie is like he definitely tried to make it like a comic book. Like if you watch some of the transitions in that movie where it's panels and stuff, that's kind of neat. I hadn't really seen that at that point in a comic book movie, but the story of that is like the most un-Hulk thing.
Okay, but
what do you want to see Hulk do?
Smash.
Yeah. What does Hulk not do?
He does eventually smash.
Yeah, but what takes like 2 hours?
They have the classic confrontation in the desert with a tank, which this movie does lack.
There's a confrontation with a tank.
Not in the desert.
Doesn't have to be in the desert.
And he doesn't pick up the tank and throw it.
I like that it's not in the desert. I like that the Hulk's in areas where the Hulk shouldn't be, causing more damage.
That's kinda good.
When nobody else is around... It's no fun.
Okay, so I want to talk about the relationship between the 2003's mostly hated Ang Lee Hulk movie and this one.
The mediocrely received Incredible Hulk.
But they're not... So I was reading about it, and one of the producers of this movie, and actually one of the producers of the other one, is Gail Ann Hurd, who also produced things like the Terminator movies.
Okay.
She also produced some of the Alien movies. Like she's a pretty big deal producer.
I've been on an Alien kick. I'm going to go watch all the Alien movies. Oh, so I'm ready.
I have a tip.
For
however,
reasons.
If you're watching Alien movies, do not watch the first Alien movie with a pregnant woman.
No, I don't have one of those.
I did that one time. and it was a bad choice.
Yeah.
Just FYI.
I wouldn't doubt it.
You can ask my wife about it. But so she produced both of those movies, and people asked her because
she's the lady.
No, originally her plan, they were going to do a direct sequel to Ang Lee's Hulk in 2005, and it fell through, and sort of blah 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 Hollywood, and Hulk didn't really do that great, and most people hated it, and so this movie came about 5 years, really 5 years later is not that much longer.
No,
but with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it sort of slots in there, but it also sort of in a way depends on that movie, because this is a movie where we don't get Hulk's origin scene.
Here's the thing.
I'm not done. Yeah, we get the montage at the beginning, but the word that I saw Gail Ann Hurd use to describe this movie is really a weird word, but I kind of like it. She called it a requel, where it's a rebooted sequel.
Okay. All right.
So
I can see that.
It could be like in some sort of alternate universe, the 2003 Hulk is the prequel to this movie directly, and in a different alternate universe, this movie is a direct sequel to the 2003 Hulk, but in this universe, the worst universe where we live now, it's sort of a combination of both.
Kinda, yeah.
It depends on, you don't have to have seen that movie.
No.
But if you've seen that movie, you get the gist of where the Hulk came from better than the montage at the beginning gives you.
But here's the thing, and we'll talk about that when we get into the movie itself.
And I don't know if Jennifer Connelly to Liv Tyler is an upgrade or a downgrade. I feel like those are relatively equal because they're both good actresses.
You know me. I actually like some Aerosmith music, but what if I told you what's the best thing Steven Tyler ever did?
Liv Tyler.
Yeah, that's the best thing that Steven Tyler's ever done.
Ever created,
Liv Tyler. But speaking of the cast, let's talk about that. But let's talk about just real briefly the Hulk in general.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's a pretty tentpole Marvel character who doesn't get a lot of his. In the origin, this is pretty close. It's definitely in the opening bit. It's a little different than the original Marvel comic, which is where he runs onto a nuclear test site.
Yeah.
But I think
that wouldn't really work in 2000.
This works better, and honestly, I like the opening montage. Origin. Yeah. I think that's a better way to get to it
because
it allows you to get to the core of the Hulk faster. And I think a lot of people know the Hulk's origin already because they've seen that other movie,
Gamma Rays.
So they think, why do we need to show it again? And it's something we'll learn again months from now when we talk about Civil War, we talk about Spider-Man.
And the other thing that's interesting
spoiler alert, Spider-Man's in that movie.
Sorry, I'm coughing.
That's all right.
One of the things is that like Iron Man, the Hulk, like the basic tenet of the character, everybody walks into the theater knowing, oh, Hulk, he gets mad and he turns into this big angry green guy.
Yeah.
It's like Iron Man robot suit.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy.
Yeah.
You don't have to go into the backstory of like, oh, it was gamma radiation. But I do like that they altered his backstory so that there's some super soldier stuff going on.
Sort of, yeah. But that's
why they reference it anyway.
They reference it. Well, they literally give the super soldier serum to a character in this movie. Let's let's talk about the cast and crew of this movie. So who directed, wrote, who did that stuff?
So we talked about the producers, Galen Hurd. She also does Walking Dead, by the way, if you recognize her. Mm-hmm. Kevin Feige, obviously Stan Lee is executive producer because Stan Lee. So the writers of this movie are, the writer of this movie is Zach Penn, it's complicated is the real answer to the writer of this movie, because Zach Penn wrote the basic script of this movie. He also wrote the story for Avengers. He wrote the story for X-Men Last Stand. But funny story, Edward Norton rewrote pretty much all the dialogue for this movie.
We're going to talk about Ed Norton here in a minute.
It was like part of his contract was that he was allowed to rewrite. He gets script approval and he rewrote all the dialogue. But the Writers Guild refused to give him credit.
Yeah,
because they say he didn't change the original script enough. Even though he changed all the dialogue, they really, when they're thinking about the script, they really think about plot beats and things like that. So he doesn't actually get credit for it. But in terms of who wrote the movie, pretty much all the dialogue is Ed Norton making changes.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of
the director,
I was gonna say,
yeah, the director is Louis Leterrier.
He's done a couple other things. He did what? Now You See Me.
The big thing, the transporter. Yeah, the transporter. I was like, oh, this is the transporter director.
Yeah,
that's what you want.
Clash of Titans remake.
He's
done a lot of action movies.
Yeah,
and he did Unleashed.
Unleashed. Yeah, AKA Dawn of the Dog. that's what it was originally called.
I know.
It's a good movie. But yeah, this is his first big movie.
Yeah,
this is his first movie that's not like, oh, let's just get Jason Statham to run around.
You know, he's a perfectly cromulent director.
Yeah, he is. It fits surprisingly well for the type of movie that this is for him to direct it.
Yeah. So let's talk about our cast and crew. We mentioned him already. Let's talk about him. Ed Norton.
Ed Norton is in this movie.
Oh boy. This is our second Marvel recasting that we've talked about. We talked about last time how Terrence Howard plays Rhodey in the first Iron Man. And this is a pretty tentpole character. I mean, Bruce Banner, the Hulk, gets recast later on. We'll talk about Mark Ruffalo when we get to the Avengers.
Although apparently they wanted Mark Ruffalo for this movie.
Really?
Or at least somebody did. And somebody else said, well, we need somebody, you know, more of a name.
Mm-hmm.
And they got Ed Norton.
I don't think Ed Norton does a bad job, but from what I heard, he was a pill to work with on this movie.
I've heard that in general.
Yeah.
That he's very much, he seems like the kind of guy who's really intense and demanding.
Yeah.
And I could see how certain directors that would work well with. I mean, I guess Fincher
probably loved him.
Yeah, Fincher and I guess Wes Anderson, they get along.
Yeah.
But
well, yeah, those two guys I could definitely see.
But yeah, but they're the same kind of very intense, very meticulous.
Yeah.
But I could see how somebody who's like, oh well, you know, Jason Statham, go punch these guys a lot, and we'll have the camera over near you.
Well, and it might not work. And here's the thing: like, I will say this though, knowing now that he rewrote some of the dialogue, like, there's definitely an emotion. I think this movie gets the Hulk.
Yeah,
I
heart of the Hulk, you could say.
Yeah, and I would say that Ed Norton does a good job of portraying Bruce Banner, of being the kind of he doesn't do a bad job of playing Bruce Banner. Like, this is the Bruce Banner that I expected to see in Ang Lee's Hulk. Like, the guy. Yeah. I like that that's the one thing I like about the montage, is it gets the movie going. Yeah. We don't have to sit through a 20-minute science scene where he turns into the Hulk.
They shot 40 minutes of opening footage, including a tiny Captain America Easter egg.
Yes, I saw this.
but they decided to just montage it instead.
I think
is a brilliant choice.
I think it works because it gets the movie going. Yeah. And it gets us to the point where we're like, we don't need to see the Hulk transform. Let's put him in a problem and start the movie in an interesting way.
We'll get there. But they almost treat the Hulk's transformation like a horror movie monster.
Yeah.
They don't show it initially for a long time.
And that's good. Honestly, I think with a movie like this, that works really well.
Yeah, they make it a big reveal instead of a front street kind of a thing.
So we also have Liv Tyler here as Betty Ross. Yeah. Perfectly fine.
Yeah, she's great.
Looking pretty. Good job, Betty Ross.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's...
I'm not done with
Ed Norton.
Okay, let's go back to Ed Norton.
Because... The one thing about Ed Norton that I think fits really well for Bruce Banner is that Ed Norton seems like a guy who's always about to just flip out.
Yeah.
Like
he seems like the kind of guy who would have to control,
like, somebody who's very high strung.
Yeah.
And at any moment could just lose it.
Yeah.
Like, even more than Mark Ruffalo, because Mark Ruffalo has more of this resigned thing. And I think that's part of the character arc of Bruce Banner or the Hulk. But at this point, Ed Norton is perfect because he seems like at any moment he's just going to flip out.
Yeah.
And that obviously works for a guy who has anger control issues.
There's some, like, really interesting, and I'll not only give it to the director, but I'll give it to Ed Norton in just subtlety performance. There's points in this movie where you see him in really bad situations and you feel for him really bad.
You play that theme song.
Well, not even just with the Hulk theme song, like when he's in when he literally is homeless in Mexico
with no pants.
Ripped pants.
Yeah.
And he just has his hands out like he's a poor beggar man. And this little boy just puts some money and then he uses it to buy clothes. But he looks like sad. Yeah. Like, he looks like a sad puppy. Like, you're like, oh my God, that poor, like, that's everybody. That's the Hulk. Hello. Like, this is an important guy. And he's sitting here on the ground. Like, this is our main character, everyone. Like, and you don't normally see that in superhero movies. Like,
sure.
Iron Man was never destitute on the side of the road.
Never, like, hits rock
you
bottom,
don't see
rock
Peter
like
Parker
that.
Being like, oh golly, high school's hard and I got to beg for money. No, like, this is a low point, point. And it's funny because we'll talk more about when we get to themes, but like the idea of like high and low emotions plays a really, like, this movie roller coasters all over the place.
It does.
So Liv Tyler, perfectly fine.
Yeah, she's great. I mean, she doesn't have a whole lot of a role.
No,
she's there as like the shoulder to cry on and the lover and the helper,
which makes me
kind of the sidekick.
Betty Ross is a pretty hefty character again in the Marvel universe as far as, like, I don't know. I mean she does the one thing Betty Ross is supposed to do, yell at her dad. She does that. Yep. She does that thing.
Yeah, that's good.
But she's fine.
Her dad.
Speaking of which, this is, by the way, holy God, did this guy come out of retirement recently in the Marvel Cinematic Universe when we get to Civil War.
Oh yeah.
Thunderbolt Ross shows up again.
Oh man.
But William Hurt is a good choice. I like, he's one of two character actors in this movie, I'll put on quotes, that I think is well cast. I like him as this role. I like him. It's not a stretch for him.
No.
But it's like, yeah, you get William Hurt.
I mean, he's got the mustache, and the mustache is pretty much the role.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you put that mustache on, oh, I know exactly how I'm supposed to be now.
He looks like, and if you look at the character in the comic books, he looks like Thunderbolt Ross. He does a good job. He plays a perfectly fine villain. That's the thing about this movie, is everything's just kind of okay. Like, there's not anything that's really stand out. It's just like, that was okay.
Yeah, so speaking of okay, Tim Roth.
I love Tim Roth, though. I love Tim Roth so much.
Yeah, I mean...
Just movie, he's okay.
Is it? I feel like my love of Tim Roth is reliant on Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction.
Yes, but there's a show you would like. Did you ever watch House? Did you ever enjoy House?
No.
Okay, then you wouldn't like this show. Oh, yeah. I watched that show, Lie to Me.
Oh, okay.
Where he's like a lie expert, and he's actually really good in that. He's like Tim Roth playing House, but like he does not House like pretending he's a homemaker, like playing House MD. But it's pretty good. I enjoyed the show, and I like Tim Roth too. I've seen him, and when I see him in things, I usually enjoy him in there.
Yeah, no, he's a good actor. He's a really good actor.
But again, perfectly okay in this movie.
Yep.
And he plays a guy who turns into another Green Hulk monster, mm-hmm. who's a pretty big Hulk villain. He's like the opposite Hulk. This first two Marvel movies, definitely, it's like, let's make these guys fight their exact opposite. Like,
well, thing. You want them on equal footing, and it's not complicated. It's just punching. Lots of punching, you know, and punching's exciting. So we also have Tim Blake Nelson.
I like Tim Blake Nelson, but you don't see him in too much.
Oh, brother.
You see him in Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou in weirder roles like this. You don't normally see him in a comic book movie. This is not a common place for him to be.
And his character in this movie doesn't fit him. Like, the way his character behaves, I expected an actor who was younger.
Well, not only that, but like... But
I don't know. He's weird.
The comic book origins, but I guess of the character works. He plays also, he doesn't look at all like the character that he becomes.
Well, so the character he plays, we can just let you know.
Because I don't think they're ever going to bring this back up ever again.
He plays a character called Samuel Stearns, who eventually turns into the leader, who is a gamma mutated, super smart brain guy.
All the Hulk's villains are gamma mutated.
Yeah, he has a giant brain, which is why you see his head sort of pulsing there.
Usually,
and then he has brain powers, you know.
Usually, a lot of the Hulk's villains
mind control
want to somehow take what the Hulk happened to the Hulk and do something else with it.
Most of the Hulk's villains are just like, we tried to make the Hulk again, but we screwed up.
Yeah. Or in some way, we tried to use his DNA or blood or something like that, and we screwed up. That's it. And another person of a pre-Modern Family, Ty Burrell.
Yeah. Actually, a brief
appearance in this movie.
His character is based on a Marvel character as well, based on Doc Samson,
really?
Who is a psychiatrist who works with the Hulk and helps Bruce Banner and the Hulk's personalities merge. But he spends so much time with the Hulk that he gets mutated and he has long green hair and super strength. And he helps people focus on their problems.
Yeah, they also didn't talk about what's the kid's name who hangs out with the Hulk.
The
kid. He's from the 19. We read
also.
It, we read it
also,
in
the Hulk never wears a clown suit in this whole movie.
He does not. That they're saving that for the Avengers.
Lou Ferrigno's in this movie.
That was going to say the last one. Well, technically, so is the other dude. What's his name?
Bill
the
Bixby.
Show? Bill Bixby's in there on the TV. But they tried to get both of them. I mean, listen.
Well, and Lou Ferrigno is also credited with the voice of the Hulk.
Really?
He even now, even in Avengers and Avengers 2, plays the voice of the Hulk.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Every time Hulk says Hulk smash, it's Lou Ferrigno.
It's Lou Ferrigno?
Yeah.
I love Lou Ferrigno.
He's so ridiculous, and he loved being the Hulk.
You could tell he just liked being in this. He was smiley and happy.
Oh, yeah.
He
he's like, oh, yeah, I'll take a pizza.
I think he still is pretty okay with, like, hey, it's my thing. Like, I'm cool with it, man.
Hey, you know what? You find your niche and you get in there.
Well, we talked to, I don't want to go too off track, but there's a show that I like called No Small Parts, and they did one on YouTube of a guy does character acting stuff. And he did a little brief piece when, you know, Taylor Negron is?
Yeah.
When he died, he wrote one last piece and he put it out there. And it was about, like, I'm cool being the guy you remember from these weird little roles. Like, once I gave up the idea that I was not going to be a big Hollywood actor, a big like leading man, I started being happier. So like in life, just when you stop trying to make your life what you want it to be and just live life, you're going to be a lot happier.
Aww,
so I was like,
philosophy,
all right, man. No, it was really good. It kind of touched me. That's our cast. So let's talk about, so we talked a little bit about it already, about how it kind of fits into the bigger Marvel universe.
Yeah.
Do we want to try to do a timeline of when this movie takes place in relation to the other movies we've seen? I assume it's post Iron Man, or maybe around the same time.
It takes place around Iron Man.
Yeah.
They could take place simultaneously. It wouldn't really matter.
Yeah. There's somewhere out there, there's a huge infographic of all the Marvel movies and when they take place.
Yeah. But I would say this one definitely takes place before Thor and Captain America. We know it takes place before they find Captain America because of the deleted scene where Hulk is basically in the Arctic Circle trying to kill himself. And they, you briefly see Captain America sort of encased in a block of ice.
Yeah.
So we know it takes place before Captain America.
well, I mean, everything takes place after, well, I mean, after Captain America.
But they don't, and we actually, we know the end of this movie takes place after the end of Iron Man.
Yes.
Because Tony Stark is, shows up and is like, hey buddy, let's,
oh man, that's you and me. That suit he's wearing is classic 2008. It's got bell bottom pants.
Well, I think that's more of a Robert Downey Jr. Tony Stark thing.
I don't know, man. I don't think Robert Downey. I don't think Tony Stark now would be anywhere near bell bottom pants. I think he'd be more about the skinny jeans or the skinny suits. I think it was just the time.
Yeah, it was.
So okay, let's talk about the MacGuffin and the themes of this movie. The MacGuffin, I feel, is a pretty easy one. But sure. What is a MacGuffin, Ryan? Explain to the boys and girls.
We use MacGuffin really loosely. It's originally kind of an Alfred Hitchcock filmmaking term. It generally means the thing everybody's trying to get. It's usually the driving force or the driving reason in an action movie. Mm-hmm. What do you think the MacGuffin is in this one?
It's pretty straightforward. The Hulk.
Yeah, everybody wants the Hulk.
Everybody wants the Hulk.
And he wants rid of the Hulk.
The Hulk is the MacGuffin. That's pretty straightforward. That's typically for this type, for any sort of movie like that where a man is changing into something. He wants to stop changing into it, and everybody else either wants to stop it or use it in some way.
It's true. You know what's interesting to me about this movie?
What's that?
And this is the first time we've brought it up in the context of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but I have the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But I have a theory about why the Marvel movies are so successful. We've talked about this before. I've talked about it on the other podcast. Mm-hmm. It's because they don't make superhero movies. They make action movies that fit into different kinds of action genres starring superhero characters.
Yeah. So in your opinion, what is this one then?
Well, So Iron Man doesn't quite fit into that because it's very much a superhero origin movie.
Yes.
But I feel like you kind of got to have one. Mm-hmm. But this one, it's sort of a techno thriller man on the run. A Jason Bourne, a Bourne supremacy type
fugitive.
Movie. Yeah, the fugitive
North
guy.
North by Northwest. Right. I'm pulling an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
But I mean, like,
this.
If you think about it, this shadowy military group is trying to get him, and they will stop at nothing to get him.
Yeah.
He has secret information that he's trying to get from one place to another. He's talking to somebody who is, you know, maybe on his side, but maybe is trying to exploit him, and he's hiding out in places. There's a rooftop run scene.
Yeah.
Like, it's very much almost a Bourne movie.
Yeah, I mean, there's not, and this is the first kind of hint at that. I bet if you would have saw that, you might have, this earlier, you might have come to that realization a little bit sooner.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have that same feel of Iron Man. No. And I think that, honestly, what lends a lot to that is, and I know it's, I keep harping on it, but that opening montage lends a lot to that.
Yeah,
because we don't spend all that time worrying about that. We just get into it, and we get into him already being on the run, being a fugitive. We don't have to then build for that being the sequel. This is already where we're at.
But so, I mean, that's how the Bourne Identity starts. The Bourne Identity starts with a weird montage, and then we're like, well, what's going on?
Yeah, exactly. So I really like that about this. And I agree with you. This one, and now that you put it that way, you're right. This is absolutely like the first kind of vision into that idea of what if we just make movies with superhero characters, but they're not superhero movies.
And if you think about it, Bourne is in a sense sort of a super soldier. And also there had been three Bourne movies by the time this movie came out.
Right.
So it's not like they definitely looked at those and they were like,
whole running on the rooftop scene in Brazil is like, I mean, it's obvious.
Textbook.
Yeah. But what about some themes? What are some themes in this movie?
Well, I think that it actually shares sort of one of the main themes of the Bourne movies, which is you can't ever go home again.
Yeah.
Now that this whatever thing has happened, where you've realized you are not just a regular human being anymore.
Yeah.
You are what the government considers a weapon. Super similar theme there. Government considers you a weapon, and there is no place for you to be safe and no place for the people you love to be safe around.
Well, and it's also too one of those, I know it sounds really cheesy and sounds like a teen book, but like you can't run away from your problems.
Right.
You have to face them.
I think that those
in
two,
one way or another.
Those two are sort of simultaneous themes. That like you can't go home, like you have to run, but you can't run away from the one thing you really want away from, which is yourself.
Well, and by the end of this movie, and it's kind of weird because it has a weird shift in the Avengers, and I don't know where that came from, but by the end of the movie he kind of accepts this is part of him, so instead of trying to suppress it, he's like, okay, how do I control it?
Yeah.
And they kind of have that theme in the Avengers that comes back around. When we get there, we'll talk more about it. But like, this is really all we see of the Hulk until, you know, three more movies from now.
Yeah.
So I think it's worth mentioning. But yeah, by the end of this movie, it's kind of like, maybe I can use this as this quote unquote curse as something to help others, mm-hmm. instead of, you know, running from it and trying to suppress it, instead of trying to hide what this thing that is a part of me. And I think by the end of it, he realizes that, mm-hmm. and there's a talk earlier on of like, well, Bruce, no, I think you're in there. Like, yeah. I just think that you're overloaded in this. And he's like, no, that's not me. He like is, it's almost like denying part of yourself.
Yeah.
It's an ugly part that maybe you don't like, but maybe that can be useful in some way. Maybe it can help others.
And to keep harping back to the Bourne thing, he's the same way at first.
Yeah.
When somebody's like, well, how did you do that? And he's like, how did I do what? What are you talking about? I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
That wasn't me. That was, I don't know what happened.
Yeah. It's once you accept that, like, this is part of who you are, it's, I don't know.
Well, once you accept this is part of who you are, you go from running to like now trying to confront not only your own problems, but trying to stop the sort of creeping evil that is showing up in the background of your life.
Would you say that, I know maybe we're going a little too far here, but would you say he goes through, at least maybe we don't see all of it, but he's going through some of the stages of grief and grief, correct? You would say?
I think so.
I mean, denial.
He
bargains, tries to figure out a way to get it out of it by any means necessary, and then eventually accepts it. Like, this is part of who I am.
Yeah,
this is what it is.
It's a good framework to look at.
I know that sounds
some of the movie.
Silly, because this movie is not the best Marvel movie. It's not the worst, in my opinion.
No.
We'll get to the worst.
It's pretty serious.
It is. It's not a lot. There's a couple chuckle moments.
There's only a couple of chuckle moments, like the part where they're making out and his heart rate start going up. And
the purple
like,
pants.
No, we can't. And the purple pants.
The taxi driver guy.
Actually, the purple pants and the other scene are like literally back to back.
Yeah.
So it's like, we got to put some jokes in there.
And the I do like the one line.
The taxi driver.
If Ed Norton wrote this one, I'll give him credit when they're like, we should take the subway. When they get to New York, because it's a Marvel movie and eventually they always have to get to New York.
You have to. It's
which I thought was weird. That was one thing I didn't mention about Iron Man. Very rarely do you see something that is a superhero movie set entirely on the West Coast.
And that is why they made Iron Man on the West Coast, because they're like, well, when else are we going to do this?
Yeah, so might as well. But I like that there's
only really on the West Coast in that one movie.
There's that one joke in this movie where he's like, where she's like, oh yeah, we should take the subway. It's going to be the fastest. He's like, me in a tube train underground in the angriest city, in the most like angry
city
in the world.
Yeah, the angriest city in America.
You're right. Let's take a cab.
That's pretty good.
So let's talk about, well, of course, we have our Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah, we
movie.
Do. He
has a line. He's a line
soda.
Of dialogue in this movie.
That means he got paid scale for that scene.
Wow. Hey, it's me. I'm drinking Guarana soda to get my energy up.
It did look very Mountain Dewy.
It did. It looked like he was drinking like a energized Mountain Dew with blood in it.
And they don't ever explain like what happened to him. It's just like he dropped the
glass.
He
got gamma poisoning.
Yeah.
And that's it. Wow. That's all he says. Okay, so we've killed it to death. We talk about the opening montage. We talk about that. The first major action sequence is a lot of obviously of like him stifling himself to not get into fights and not getting. You get kind of a sense of Bruce Banner's day to day life and how he has to live, which I think is smart because it's trying to make you relate to that character instantly.
Yeah.
By putting yourself in that situation, by seeing his day to day life, being like, well, if this was you, this is what you'd have to do.
Yeah.
This is how you'd have to live. You know.
Although I'm thinking to myself,
you couldn't flirt with the pretty girl who's your downstairs neighbor who's in trouble because
what
if you get mad and then you destroy everything?
He is living in a very populous place, and you would think, you know.
Probably because nobody would think to look there for him. That's what I'm guessing.
But like, if he's worried about other people's safety in case he hulks out, you'd think he'd be living in the Sahara.
But I also he's trying to do things to suppress his rage and control his rage, which I think is cool. Like, I like that he's taking like those, the
Krav Maga.
Yeah, doing the breathing exercise and stuff, and gets kind of neat.
Yeah, no, that's smart. I mean, I feel like if they made... I think that they have to have at some point have somebody like be like, all right, Bruce Banner, let's do some yoga, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, let's do a little Tai Chi and
The first major action sequence is when they kind of realize he's down there because of the blood soda.
Yeah.
They track him there. And then they send this whole like SEAL Team 6 led by Tim Roth's character, which
That whole scene is very Jason Bourne.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Until they get into the factory.
Yes.
And then it's a horror movie.
Yeah. Then it's like
once he hulks out.
Yeah.
I really like the way that they did
that. You know what it reminded me a lot of? And it's totally different in the way that it looks and the kind of thing they're going for with the action sequences, but it reminds me a lot of, do you remember in 89 Batman?
Uh-huh.
When they're in like the Axis Chemical factory. Yeah, yeah. And you have like a lot of Batman in like fog and the shadows. You don't see him a lot. Like it reminds me of that, but with them, but then you throw Alien into it, or you throw Predator, Alien into it.
Yeah.
Where it's like a monster.
Well, I mean, that's literally how Alien is too. Like this is a classic framework.
Yes.
The like, you know, we've got this big scary reveal and let's hold it off as long as possible while we're building the tension and making you more and more scared of this thing, but we're not going to show it to you.
Yeah.
We're going to give you like an elbow. We're going to give you like a shoulder, just little bits of it. Like it's such a classic, like a monster movie. Like it goes back to the, you know, the Universal monsters.
Yeah. Funny. This is a Universal movie. Oh. They probably had the rights at the time. They're like, yeah, go ahead. Do what you want with them.
No, I don't care. no, but I think it's great. I think it's a really good way to do it.
Yeah.
Because
which is probably why there wasn't a sequel. Cause I hear Universal likes to hold on to those. Once they get like a movie or make a movie and they have those rights, they hold on to them.
Yeah.
So they're just like, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's why they had the rights in 2003 and they sort of,
I learned this recently cause they won't let Kevin Smith take Mallrats anywhere else. Oh, really? He was like, oh, I'd like to make another Mallrats. They're like, oh, we own that. Yeah. You can't have it, I guess. Like they didn't even remember that they did that movie. So, anyway, but
yeah, I like that. Honestly, like once we get full CG Hulk, it's like not super impressive.
Now it's not impressive. If we compare this Hulk to the Hulk in the Avengers, but if we compare this to the Ang Lee Hulk,
sure.
I think it
looks much
better.
More like an actual giant strongman, not some sort of cartoon bubble muscle monster.
Poor Eric Bana. What did he do to anybody?
Yeah.
He said yes to the Hulk.
Hey, man, he made money.
He did. So after that, we kind of have a big lull, a little bit.
He wakes up in Guatemala.
We have a lot of the, which I think is cool. It's like we see how he's had to live, and then it's like, and how he's kind of like, okay, he's kind of got a life for himself. It's not a very good life, but he's got something.
Yeah.
And we just see that instantly stripped away from him. Again. And now he's, again.
Yeah.
And so now he's back to square one, like pretty square much. One. I mean, there's a whole subplot about, oh, he's trying to find a cure and all this stuff. And yeah. But the important stuff, I'm more concerned about the character journey than like the scientific plot stuff, because it's all just like there to keep the plot moving in a certain direction. So the next time we see, when's the next time we see the Hulk?
The next time we see the Hulk is when, again, William Hurt finds out that he's on that college campus visiting Betty.
Yeah.
And actually, he's not visiting Betty. He's like specifically avoiding her because he sees that she's got a new boyfriend.
They have an accidental meet cute.
Yeah. And then she just ditches her boyfriend. Ty Burrell plays, like, until Modern Family, he was just like the guy that you were like, well, screw you, guy. Like, he's just the butthole.
But he wasn't really a butthole in this. He was nice.
No, but he was just kind of like, well, whatever.
He's boring.
Yeah. He's not
Bruce Banner. He's not tortured.
No.
Oh, I mean, and this is definitely,
he's wearing a sweater vest over a button-up, you know, white collar shirt.
It's funny because our friend Alan from Four Color Commentary always, because, like, I love Green Lantern. I'm Hal Jordan. I'm like, buddy, the way you and your wife met, you're Bruce Banner. Like, she likes to take care of you. Like that moment. And honestly, he does. But whenever we ask them how they met, it's always a Florence Nightingale type thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like,
Alan gets drunk, he gets punchy.
Yeah. like the Hulk when he gets mad. the booze is his gamma radiation.
Oh no.
So there's that moment where he's like, she sees him, and then like she's like, tell me, was he here? Did I really see him? And he's walking down the road in the rain, and she gets out, and maybe the overacting's a bit much, but I kind of got a little bit of an emotional moment where it's like, please, like don't run away again.
Oh,
like I promise you.
Yeah.
It worked on me because I was buying the Marvel movie.
I feel like that might be the biggest romance
moment in this movie.
In any Marvel movie.
Probably.
Like that's the closest we get to,
I don't know, Peggy Carter. We'll get there.
Okay. Yeah.
Talk about that.
But even the Peggy Carter thing is all
Winter Soldier.
Well, that part's just
depressing. We'll get there. That part's just depressing. But I'm going to say, I'm going to hold that right now. But remember, I mean, like, this moment, because most, I'm going to bring it up Winter Soldier.
Most like classic romance.
Yeah, there's movie, that moment not, like, of like, yeah, definitely. It's like, don't play, like, it's raining, please don't go.
And yeah, he's please on a bridge. Please don't run away again. And, it's straight out of a, yeah, straight out of a rom-com.
So, you know? But yeah, the next big sequence is he's trying to leave. They find him there.
Yeah,
but at this point,
this is where you get full Hulk in just clear 100%.
And at this point, they've given Tim Roth some super soldier serum.
Yeah.
So and he's faster. Like booking it. And he's like super aggro. He's like opposite of Captain America. Like he's just like, which tells me that the super soldier serum affects different people differently based on your demeanor.
And
that's that play comes into play when we talk about Captain America later on.
And so, yeah, that he fights him and he doesn't really do much, and the Hulk sort of
he's more so there just to kind of like be like the little carrot that's dangling in front of the Hulk.
Yeah.
So like the Hulk does different around. Things, but I love when the Hulk rips that car in half and or rips the doors up and starts using him like hooks and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man, that's something that you don't see that I didn't see in that last Hulk movie. I'm like, why doesn't the Hulk like make metal boxing gloves?
Well, yeah, well, and that's what he does in the final fight scene of the movie. He takes a cop car and turns it into punching bag,
exactly,
or boxing gloves.
So I like in the scene that they try. It's the classic, like, and it's the classic thing you see in the comic books, which is, how do we stop this unstoppable monster?
Yeah.
It's like, let's try shooting at him. Let's throw a bomb at him. Let's use sonic wave technology. That's not working. Let's call in this helicopter that's going to destroy him. It's like thing after thing. It's almost like a Godzilla movie.
It is.
How do we stop this? But I mean, on a much smaller scale.
Yeah.
But I like that. And you mentioned there's not a scene in the desert. I like that there's no scene in the desert. I like that. It's in populated areas because it's like even more.
It
like,
makes it more scary. Yeah,
it's like, oh, he's gonna hurt some college kids. Like, he's gonna hurt somebody.
Oh man.
And then what? And then they throw Tim Roth into a tree. That moment's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, and he just demolishes.
It just like, and you could see it too. You're like,
he gets all ragdoll.
He's just like a meat bag at that.
Well, and then the doctor later is like, oh yeah, his bones are like crushed gravel.
Yeah, and then Matt, thank you, Super Soldier Serum. It heals him. Yeah,
and then he decides he needs to become.
And then he needs more super soldiers. Yeah. But then after that, we have a bit of a lull where they're on him and Betty are on the run, sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a classic like on the run, like, you know, we got to hide out, we got to get rid of your phone, get rid of your driver's license, can't use credit cards. You know, what are we gonna do with $20? It's like, well, we'll make it work. You know, but I mean,
you're
like,
my girlfriend. We'll live on love alone.
But that's every classic. Like they have that exact scene in the first Bourne movie.
Is this the Thelma and Louise part of the
it
movie?
It is. You know, they just don't get it. They steal an old truck instead of a convertible.
Yep.
And then they go and meet, you know,
the professor guy that he's been
Samuel
talking to.
Samuel Stearns, and then he geeks out on
and they try
the Hulk.
To and he tries to cure the Hulk, and he does sort of, and then you find out there's this whole thing that he's trying to use Bruce Banner's blood for medical applications, which, while noble, it's like there's so many things in this movie where it's like, and that's the thing with the Hulk that I realized that they did get right, which is the idea that, but no, this horrible thing that happened to you, you don't need to suppress it because we can use it for military applications.
Yep.
We can use it for medical stuff. All these things that are good that can come from it. And it's always like, no, you don't understand. You're playing. It's like, fire's great. Not only does it keep you warm, but we can use it to heat a house or make a combustion engine. It's like, yeah, but it's fire. Maybe you should be careful with it. Like, it could also burn down the world. So be careful.
And so instead, they decide to burn down the world.
Well, they turn him into the Hulk. Then he untransforms to be in the Hulk. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, the military finds him again. They capture him this time. And then...
Well, no, they capture him. And then what's his name? Blonsky decides, like, oh, I want to be the Hulk. Like,
he's like, well, I got super soldier serum, but this isn't enough. It's like a drug addict almost.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, give me more. And so then he becomes the Abomination.
Which is another green monster.
Which is, they're basically like, you would be exactly like the Hulk, except for you had this other stuff, so it made you crazy.
So now it's
you have bones outside of your skin.
This is what happens when super soldier serum with you mixes with the Hulk.
Yeah, it's like, you basically are Doomsday from the guy who killed Superman.
Essentially.
And then essentially what happens is they're like, oh, well, Hulk, remember how we like hated you and been chasing you down over multiple continents and destroying everything you love and know?
Uh-huh.
We need you this time, buddy.
And but Hulk's nobody like, actually,
I got you.
But nobody actually says to him, we need you.
No, you're right.
He makes the choice. Like, he finally kind of hits that moment of like, I'm the only person who can help with this.
Yep.
Like, I'm the only guy who can go
and
up.
Jumps off a helicopter and just lands on the ground.
Yeah.
And it's pretty great because he didn't Hulk out.
Yeah.
But then he does.
And then they fight in Harlem.
Yeah.
That poor neighborhood.
Yeah. That's when he tears a police car apart and uses it as boxing gloves.
Where's Luke Cage? Where is he at this point? Why isn't he there? But yeah, he's, if you watch the show, he's someplace else. Yeah. We'll talk about those.
I haven't actually seen that show.
It's, I think you would really like Luke Cage a lot.
I know.
I think you really dig it. No pun intended by using like 70s cool guy
Sweet Christmas
lingo. So
then they fight.
They have a big fight.
Yep.
And it's what you think. There's a lot of smashing. There's a lot of... Hulk does the one thing that I'm glad that he does. First of all, he does say Hulk smash.
Yes,
which
he does.
Makes me happy.
One time.
But he does the thing that I'm glad that they did, which I've seen him do in the comics, but I was hoping they would have him do it in the movie.
Oh, the clap?
He claps. He does this huge clap, and it sends this wave of wind to put out this fire that almost explodes a helicopter with Betty in it. But like...
And her dad.
I like that... Did anyone think like... Well, that much oxygen would just feed the fire and make it explode faster.
You know what? It's Science. He's a giant green monster.
But yeah, but again, like,
so don't look for like a whole lot of science.
Kind of the action sequences in this movie aren't too. They're kind of like Iron Man. Kind of like, okay.
Yeah, they happen.
They happen.
Some punching.
Yeah,
gets done.
I would say my favorite of the three is the middle portion. I think that's the one that I like.
Yeah, that's probably the best action scene.
And you would think that I'd like two big green monsters fighting each other the most.
The other guy's kind of orange.
He's kind of he looks like booger green versus like, you know, radioactive green.
Like, now I'm sitting here thinking about it. I'm trying to think of how he beats him. And I don't remember.
He was going to hit him with the chains and he grabs him and then he hits himself in the head with him and then he punches the heck out of him and then he's going to break his body and murder him. And Betty's like, no. Don't do it because you're Bruce Banner.
But he's
like,
knocked him out.
All right. He's like, yeah, I guess I won't kill him. I'll control the rage. And then he runs away like Spider-Man on buildings. They have a Spider-Man shot.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Running and bounding over buildings and stuff. And then they cut to the end, which is where he's in the middle of nowhere.
And
learning how to be the Hulk.
And the Abomination is going to be in an induced coma for the rest of his life.
Yeah. So he's going to be in a government base somewhere and we'll never see him in the MCU again.
Yeah. Because Tim Roth is expensive.
And of course, and then Thunderbolt Ross is like basically like, you know.
I'll get you later,
Well, because the
gadget.
Hulk as a military application was not something that he was like telling people. He was like, we just need to capture him. But he didn't say like, because
he was going to
use him
secret
for military stuff.
But now that they're S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that stuff.
They figure it out. And yeah, he's not.
And then we get the stinger scene.
And then we get the stinger scene with Tony Stark coming in to a bar where he's getting drunk. He's like, hey, you got a bit of a problem, or like a big problem.
Funny story.
Team together.
Funny story. You know, drink that Thunderbolt Ross is drinking right there. The Incredible Hulk.
Is that actually a
Yeah, it's drink? Like cognac and hypnotic. It makes it, because hypnotic's like bright blue and cognac's kind of yellowish.
I like he's not drinking whiskey. No, not Thunderbolt Ross. He likes sugary drinks.
Well, he's drinking the Incredible Hulk.
Girly shots.
That's why it's bright green.
Yeah, I understand. He's drinking some chilled dew, some chilled Mountain Dew.
Smooth. Yeah,
and so that's the movie.
Interesting that it's not, that the stinger scene isn't him talking to the Hulk.
Yeah, no.
Because I feel like that would have made more sense.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but I like that it's, I mean, well.
Which
but I like it, that but he, but he's it, a guy who's in military weapons application, so he probably would talk to a general at some point.
But then it makes more sense for the beginning of the Avengers. The one part I never understood from the beginning of the Avengers, they're like, oh, we've got to go recruit the Hulk.
Yeah.
It's like they don't have to recruit anybody else. Everybody else is already kind of on board.
Yeah.
They just got to get him.
Yeah.
But it's the Hulk that got to be like, hey, buddy. Like,
that's the one little mini carryover from the Avengers.
And that's the one thing that I never understood, having never seen this movie.
So, Ryan, let me ask you, because we're getting to the final thoughts section before we get into the back at the ranch area. So final thoughts are this. Let me ask you. Now that you've seen this, do you think that somebody watching the Marvel Cinematic Universe for the first time, I'll ask you this. Is it a necessity that they watch this movie? Should they watch this movie? Or can they skip this movie?
It's super skippable.
Okay. So you don't think like it's like a, you should check it out.
I mean, it's, I feel like this is one of those ones like, if you have seen a lot of Marvel movies and you haven't seen this one, it's worth going back and checking it out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're like trying to power through to get the gist of the Marvel movies, skip it.
Okay. I say that I really enjoy it. I don't think it's amazing. I think it's a perfectly like honestly, a perfect B Marvel movie. Like there are definitely there's one specifically that I think is worse than this, and we'll get your opinion because that's another one you haven't seen. But like, none of these movies are really like terrible in my mind.
No.
Like this is just a perfectly okay movie.
No,
like,
it's
all right.
It's a we made a Jason Bourne movie with the Hulk in it.
Exactly.
It's fine. It's a good movie. I've seen plenty of worse movies. We've talked about worse movies on this show.
Mm, yeah, we have.
It's a good movie. It's better than the 2003 Hulk movie.
Yes,
but it's not necessary. And it's not as good as Iron Man.
No. It's not a very good follow up to Iron Man. But it's kind of like a. The thing I took away when I saw this was, oh, you are serious about that Avengers idea. Like, you're not just playing with me.
But it's also...
You are doing
it. It's definitely more serious than Iron Man.
Yeah.
And I feel like it has to exist for them, for people who... Because there are those people. I've heard that they exist, and I've met them
who
once
don't
or
like
twice.
Iron Man?
No, who say, like, oh, you know, I want my superhero movies to be super dark.
Yeah, that's
and
my
really
dad.
Grim.
He loves those DC Universe
and
movies.
And this
so
one
much.
is definitely the grimmest of the Marvels.
Yeah.
At least in Phase 1.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
I would say so.
And so I feel like you had to have a movie like this for that group of people to be on board, to be like, yeah, no, it's like psychological, man.
Yeah.
Like, this is that movie.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But overall, what's your rating of it out of 10?
Out of 10, yeah, you know, let's give it six
okay.
sound trucks out of a possible 10. Soundtrack. Like, those sound trucks, I am almost sure that I had a G.I. Joe version of that.
I'm going to give it a little bit higher. I'll give it a 7.
All right.
I'll say it's that. I'll give it seven bloody pulp meat bags Tim Roths.
Jeez.
Smash into a tree by the Hulk's massive arms, or seven Hulk roars at lightning because apparently the Hulk is like children afraid
yeah, you
of
got
lightning.
You.
And a blockbuster, or lackluster.
I think it's still technically a blockbuster.
It's right on the border. I would say, like, I would say honestly, if you really want to delve into everything Marvel Cinematic Universe, you gotta watch it. But if you're like just trying to like, well, I just want to kind of get a taste. It's not necessary, but I would say, you know what? It's an hour and a half of your life. If you're willing to sacrifice an hour and a half of your life for a big green monster, do it.
I feel like if someone had told me, hey, it's kind of like it's like a Jason Bourne movie with the Hulk, then I would have been much more likely to have watched it a long time ago.
Right, right.
So so if you did like it and you're trying to get your friends to watch it, tell them it's like a Bourne movie with the Hulk. And they'll be if they have seen
it. I like it about
movie,
as much as I like the Bourne movies. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, there you go.
It's
not as good as Bourne 3.
No, Bourne 3 is freaking great. We still haven't watched Jason Bourne. I really want to watch that.
Yeah.
One of these days, I'll check
one of
it
these
out.
Days.
So that is the review portion of our show. Now we jump into back at the ranch real quick, kind of do a quick check-in on action movies and the world around. Before we get to the big news.
All signs point to John Wick 2 being great.
Yes.
Amazing, unbelievable. I haven't seen it yet.
It's great. We talked about it last time a little
bit. We did.
But I saw Lego Batman.
Oh, yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
So
I enjoyed
good.
Lego Batman quite a bit. It was very cute.
Lots of references.
Had a lot of good Batman references
so
in it that I really
actors.
Liked. I'm trying to think of like any other action movies that I really watched since then. Not too many. As far as stuff I'm excited for this week and the next couple days, Logan comes out.
Oh,
I'm excited to go check that.
That's
I've heard nothing
sweet.
But good things. I've heard that it's the review that I like the best is not only a good superhero movie, but just a great movie. And
ooh,
I'm like, that's what I
nice,
want to hear.
Nice.
That's what I want to hear. So I'm excited about that. But we do have sad news. Not friend of the show, but actually he's in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That's
he's
true.
On Agents
That's
of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He's on Agents
as a
of
villain
S.H.I.E.L.D.
and pretty good one at that rate. Bill Paxton
passed away.
Yeah.
What I've read is that it was complications in surgery, but man, Bill Paxton, he wasn't even that old. He was in his early 60s.
I mean, and now
and
no one's going to confuse. He's never
no
going to
get confused.
No one's
going to mix him up with
Bill Pullman
again. Because the president from Independence Day is still alive. But
and Chet is dead.
Yeah, Chet and Hudson. And
yeah. He's okay. So I watched this thing on Nerdist News about Bill Paxton. That dude's like more of a champion than I gave him credit for.
Yeah, he's directed a lot of like very strange music videos.
He's also directed one of the best. I'm going to say, I won't necessarily say it's a horror movie. It's more of a thriller movie, and it's really good and really weird and extremely original. I think you'd probably like it.
All right.
Have you ever seen Frailty?
No.
Do you know what it's about?
Uh-uh.
So it's about, Frailty is a movie that he directed and financed him, or he helped get made himself because
nice.
It's a script that everyone was just like, this is too weird. We can't make this. It's
Which
about
like a
guy
thing.
Who says he's getting messages from God to kill people, kill demons. And he goes after these people who are seemingly innocent, but apparently, and
but maybe they aren't.
Yeah, and so in the whole movie, for the most part, like the way he acts it, you're never quite sure if he's insane or if he is legitimate. By the end of the movie, you get an answer, but it's a really good movie. That and actually creepy. Parts of it were filmed over by nearby at the Orange Circle where we work nearby. Spoilers.
So yeah, I mean, Bill Paxton, he was in Alien. He was in Terminator. He was in Predator.
He's best. He's really close friends with James Cameron from what I understand.
He was also in Twister.
Twister is probably the thing that did you hear about the whole Bill Paxton?
A bunch of storm chasers up in Tornado Alley. They aligned all their GPSs to spell BP.
That was super sweet.
It's dorky as heck, but I
like Bill Paxton. Bill Paxton. I mean, we saw him. We had him on the show a couple times. We had him on.
We talked about Twister.
We definitely talked about just recently with the Terminator.
Yeah.
We talked about him on. God, there was another one too. That now I'm blanking. Live, Die, Repeat. The Edge of Tomorrow. I like Live, Die, Repeat. It's a way better, way cooler title. Way more edgy. Yeah. So I'm going to refer to that movie as Live, Die, Repeat forever. Or what do they call it? Manga, All You Need Is Kill.
Yeah. Bill Paxton was great. He just was one of those guys who, like, it just made the world weirder.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a good thing.
My favorite Bill Paxton memory, I'm telling you, I've told this story on the podcast before. Tom Cruise, which is the day I learned that Tom Cruise is so charming that he'll make anyone do anything. And like, he will absolutely do it for him. I was at Comic-Con in Hall H, big room. They had a Warner Brothers presentation. They were doing The Edge of Tomorrow. I was like, oh, Tom Cruise. Oh, here we go. And Tom Cruise walked out with that big smile on his face. And you're like, oh my God, I instantly forget all the crazy. He's so charming. He's like so charming. And not in like a way of like, he's crazy. You're like, he seems like such a nice guy. Like he doesn't seem like a crazy person. And then at one point he's like, yeah, you know, Bill Paxton's in this movie too. Bill Paxton's actually in the audience right now. He's like, come on up here, Bill. And he's like, no, you could see Bill Paxton in like the press section. He's like, no, and I was like, come on up here, Bill. And Bill's like, all right. And so he goes up onto the stage and sits down next to him, like, wow, Bill Paxton, everybody. Everybody claps. And Tom Cruise is like sitting there talking about stuff. He goes, you know, I remember first seeing Bill in like Weird Science, man, which is one of the greatest things. And I don't remember what specifically he says, like, do that line from Weird Science. Do the one. You know the one. And he's like, no, Tom. No. He's like, do it. Do it. And he's like, all right. He does it. Everybody cheers. Like Tom Cruise can convince Bill Paxton to do something. Like that's how charming he is. He can convince other celebrities to do that. Half surprised he didn't hand him a Scientology pamphlet and be like, join Scientology, Bill. Oh, all right. I guess I'll take a personality test.
Oh, man.
But like, Bill Paxton is criminally underrated. I think about it and I realize and I really look at it, he's a good actor who's criminally great in underrated. Everything.
Yeah.
He does, you know, a lot of a wide breadth of roles, drama stuff. You know what else is a really good Bill Paxton movie? Huh. I think had involved with the production, A Simple Plan. You ever see A Simple Plan?
I'm familiar with
neither that or Frailty are action movies, but they're both really good. And Billy Bob Thornton's in that one. It's really, really good. And so like when people just think, oh, Bill Paxton, Twister, right? Or, oh, it's just Aliens, right? Like, you know, he's been in a lot of different stuff. He is in Titanic. He's the one kind of non-romantic-y part of that movie about a guy who just wants to get treasure. Like, so I don't know. I think it's unfortunate because he seemed like he had so many more years ahead of him. And honestly, on the Marvel side, he was really good in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He was legitimately evil.
Like,
in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., he was definitely like the best and the most evil bad guy they've had. Even, you know, with the various terrible... The acting in that show is, let's say, uneven.
Yeah.
But he definitely elevated the level of acting for everybody who had to encounter him.
I definitely like Bill Paxton. It's a bummer because he seemed like he had so many more years ahead of him, and he definitely will be missed, especially by our show.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess how do we say goodbye to Bill? Game over, man.
Game over, man.
You know that line was ad-libbed?
Yeah.
He ad-libbed that line.
It's perfect.
And that's the most well-known line from, other than maybe I'll Be Back or Hasta La Vista, baby, from any James Cameron movie ever. He ad-libbed that. That's like when somebody says Aliens, the first line that everyone jumps to is, game over, man. Game over. I'm going to watch. That's what kind of spurred my love. I want to watch all the Alien movies. I haven't seen them in years. I've seen Alien recently, but I haven't seen Aliens or Alien 3, which I'm going to watch.
Oh, you haven't seen Aliens?
I haven't in a long time. Oh, okay. I saw it when I was younger because my dad was like, you could watch
Aliens
this.
Aliens is amazing, and I've actually never seen Aliens 3 or 4 or 5.
Alien
or
3 is very weird. It's a Fincher movie, but it's a weird
Alien movie. Only like half a Fincher movie. Yeah, you disavowed it.
Yeah. So anyway, well, that's a bit of a bummer.
He's in Apollo 13.
Also. Oh, that's right. Yeah, he's in so many. Like, he's in a True lot Lies. Of movies. He's in a lot of movies. He's in a lot of stuff. Bill Paxton.
Tombstone.
Yep. Bill Paxton's in a lot of stuff. He was just recently in a Nightcrawler, that movie.
Yeah, he was. I heard
that movie is super good and super weird. But yeah, it's a bummer. Like, seriously, this guy's work, like, everyone always like writes him off for Twister and stuff like that, but he's done a lot of great stuff, even outside the action movie genre.
He's in Commando.
Yep, he sure was. He also is the only guy to fight and be killed by an alien, a predator, and the Terminator. So if that's not something that you can put on an action movie wall piece, then there nothing else is. So thanks, Bill, for all the performances and all the good times. And you will be missed, sir. You will be missed.
Thanks to our listeners.
Yes, thanks for listening to us go on about Bill Paxton and about Ed Norton and the Hulk for a while.
So what's the next movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Phase 1?
We're jumping right back in. We're going back to the well sooner than we thought, because the next one, Iron Man 2.
Ah, so the second Iron Man.
Spending a little more time with Mr. Robert Downey Jr. And a couple new friends next time. So
we talk about sequelitis.
Yes. So thank you guys so much for joining us for The Incredible Hulk. Come back next time to SAB MCU when we'll be talking about Iron Man 2. And remember,
whether it's blockbuster
or lackluster, we're the Super Action Bros. Hulk smash!
This has been a production of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network.
Exclusively at stuffandthingsnetwork.com.